most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. That always reminds me hearing that music of Max. Max Tucci, we just give a shout out to you across the ether, wishing you a great Sunday night. This is Tamara Montana and Greg Montana. We are filling in for Max Tucci here tonight with Max and Friends. And what an honor, what a blessing to show up with you here tonight with my wonderful husband, who we have something very amazing in store for you guys.
Yeah, looking forward to talking to you tonight about a lot of R&R and some magic that happens aboard cruises and how you can improve your relationship. So let's interview Tamara a little bit here, because she has always been a big fan of doing relationship workshops and healing life on a cruise ship. Yeah. And what's amazing about this is, for those of you that are relationship or workshop junkies, and I have to admit I am. I love self-help workshops. We love showing up at them. Tamara and I do events. Just last week, Tamara did an event in front of 500 people for an extreme health event where we talked about divine intimacy and relationships. And Tamara was the star speaker there, who was talking about innocence and human
spiritual healing.
Spiritual healing with intimacy. So tell us a little bit, Tamara, about, you know, you're a big fan of healing on cruise ships, especially relationships. What is it about cruise ships that you think makes them so much more conducive than just sitting in a therapist's office or going to a workshop?
You know, instantaneously, when you walk onto a cruise ship, there is a there's a magic that happens. There's a warmth, a receptivity with staff, a crew members that are all there to be of service and to have a synergistic flow between your experience and their experience. And it's just, there's something very unique about getting away from land where you are out of touch with cell phones or computers, and you're right there smack dab in the middle of nature, in the middle of nowhere, yet surrounded by a community and a group of people that are all on this mothership of a exploration and an adventure and a place that just really allows people to connect in a way that knows no bounds. There's really no filters to having any fun. It's almost like any kind of judgment takes it's left on land. If you're out in the middle of the ocean, out in the middle of the sea, because there's something about nature, there's something about being in the middle of the ocean that absorbs any toxicity that may be going on with your body physically, anything that may be going on emotionally, anything that may be going on in your relationships. And it's just, there's something exquisite about having staff members there remember your name, remember when you show up. They're excited to see you. They're happy to see you. In fact, there was one, this waiter that we had when we gather for dinner, he remembered that I loved pickled cucumbers. This pickled cucumber dish was just so amazing to me that that's all I wanted. I just wanted a big plate of that. So I asked them for more of it. And the very next morning for breakfast, he said, "Tamara, would you like some more of that pickled cucumbers?" And I was like, oh my gosh, he remembered. There's something very sweet about somebody that remembers your name, remembers your likes, is wanting to be of service and feeling so honored to be that way. There's just a natural trickle-down effect that happens in your relationships on the cruise ship. When you feel so cared for, there's a freedom to care for the people that you're with. When you don't have to worry about your meals, you don't have to worry about the cleaning, you don't have to worry about anything but getting dressed and signing up for your excursion, going to a workshop, experiencing learning beyond anything you can imagine. It's right there present in the experiential workshop that you are literally changing the DNA at a cellular level to open to possibilities. And for me, there's nothing better than that. Yeah, I want to retire on a cruise ship.
And some people do. I know, having been on a few cruises myself, the one thing that has always surprised me is the clarity of introspection. So, you know, you go on a cruise ship and it takes quite a bit to usually get there. You know, you got to make a staunch decision. It's not like it just shows up on your schedule. You got to fight for those cruises. But once you do, my experience has been on the way home, when that ship hits the dock, I have clarity about something, having been out in the wide open seas. There's, you know, and what you're focusing on is a part of you shows up. So they're focused on you. You get to focus on you. And for people that are feeling like life is taking over, there's nothing like being on a cruise ship to help you get centered in what's most meaningful to you and to make some profound decisions about life. Now, you've mentioned that you're particularly fond. You've had some tremendous breakthroughs on cruise ships. I know you. Mm-hmm. You've had some prayers answered. You've had some. Mm-hmm. You've pursued some tremendous dreams and met some amazing contacts on some cruise ships. But particularly relationships. You and I have both kind of worked with people in the marriage arena on a cruise ship, and have to admit, it's astounding what happens when a couple gets on that cruise ship. And so tell us a little bit about what you think are the parameters, the characteristics of working on your relationship on a cruise that are unique and particularly advantageous.
Well, I think one of the biggest things, that's a really good question. One of the biggest things is that you're much more free to take risks because nobody's going anywhere. Nobody's going to jump ship, and there's not a phone call to answer. There's no appointment that's pressing.
Your cell phones don't even work most of the time.
No, they don't, except when you're at port. You know, there is opportunities to check in. And if you're a doctor or, you know, and you've got patients to attend to, or there may be emergency questions, there's always a business section there that you can go in and log in if you absolutely do need a Wi-Fi connection. But for the most part, if you're able to leave all that stuff behind, it's, you know, the freedom to actually take a risk in saying those things that you don't really get a chance to do when you have all these interruptions or distractions as they come up, you know, in our daily lives. There's really an opportunity to clear your mind, clear your heart, that it stays that way. Your heart literally, like a closed bud, actually has an opportunity to open up on the inside and blossom and just to reach out, because the sun is so conducive to inspiring and inviting you gently to open up into new dimensions of experience, new levels of possibilities. And it invites you into a world beyond the world that you know.
You know, it's interesting. The thought that comes to mind as you're talking is that when we're in general society most of the time, it's almost like we're in a storm and there's a constant barrage of wind or something. And so when we get out on the cruise ship, it's almost like stepping out of that storm, all that chaos and energy. It's almost like a rainstorm of energy and advertising. And that's one of the first things I noticed. You're on a cruise ship. There's not a lot of advertising. It's not like you're seeing a lot of commercials on TV or driving past a bunch of billboards. All you're seeing is wide open ocean for as far as you can see. It's just a very calming and introspective environment. And I know from the hours and hours that you know people spend on cruise ships just staring out over the ocean, things just start to settle. I guess it's kind of like a glass that's filled with murky water. You know, you shake it, and if you just keep shaking it, you'll never be able to see through it. But when you sit it down and it settles, which is what cruises do for my mind, is that mind gets to settle. Then you see clearly. You can see right through it, and the sediment settles at the bottom. So in that environment, the issues that show up for couples, for people that are struggling in relationships, gets clear. And And let's face it, there's no place to run, like you mentioned. You know, if you're working on something with a spouse, it's not like they can say, well, that's it, I'm going bowling.
You know, there is a casino on board.
Well, that's true. You could. There's plenty of places to hide and disappear.
And plenty of entertainment, too.
Yes, indeed.
But to be able to enjoy that together, you know, it's one of the things that we challenge couples or even individuals is when they go out on their explorations. I mean, really be open to exploring within your heart, within your soul, within your spirit, to tap into something that is much, much larger than yourself, and allow yourself to, instead of seeing yourself as like a ripple in the ocean, just to merge with the ocean and to know that you're a part of something so much bigger than you could ever possibly imagine, and to give yourself an opportunity to know that spirit wants so much more for you than we can ever conceive of with our little minds, that our minds can be blown away by what is available beyond this world.
Yeah, and the thing that strikes me is that the exercises that we do, because think about it, if you're thinking, oh my gosh, I got to get home, I got to do this, I got to do that, and you're trying to focus on strengthening a relationship or dealing with your partner's issues, you're not going to be very attentive. But when you've got that clarity and both people have the sediment settle to the ground, to the bottom of the glass, so to speak, the clarity that you have, now you can really move quickly through exercises. And I know there's a few exercises that we're partial to. One is the genogram that you do for people. Where can you talk a little bit about that? And what are the benefits of people doing their genogram?
Oh my gosh, this is one of the most exciting snapshot moments of gathering information generations prior before you. So one of the things we do is we put out a genogram. We'll draw it out, and we'll take a look at the birth order. We'll take a look at your parents and your grandparents, and we're going to look at relationship patterns that have been passed down through the generations. And then we're going to take a look at who you get to be, given your past, and given who you want to experience yourself as in the future. So one of the things we'll do is we'll break those vows. We'll break decisions you made a long time ago about what was going to be okay for you and what wasn't going to be okay for you. So we can break those vows so that new opportunities lie before you, to where there are certain pathways that can be so illuminated for you that there's no question in your heart that that's the direction I need to go.
So a genogram is like you take out one sheet of paper and you do a map, and you literally show parents and grandparents and children and divorces and deaths and alcoholism and broken relationships and strong relationships. And so you get to see a map of exactly where you are in this. Now, a lot of people are going to resent this. They're going to say, you know what, I'm not a byproduct of my family. I'm a unique and independent individual. But I was surprised when I saw my genogram to see, oh my gosh, I am so much a product of all the things that I don't want to become. I mean, you know, some people will look at a genogram and say, well, you know, my parents did this and my grandparents did this and everybody did this, and that's why I'm not going to do it. But if you think about it, then it's still controlling you. So in my case, there was a lot of alcoholism that ran through my father's side of the family, and I haven't had a drink in 32 years. So I kind of went to the other extreme, and it's just like I'm never touching it and I'm never going near it. And so, you know, who knows? Maybe you come from a family, there's a lot of conflict, and you say, well, I'm never going to fight with my spouse or anything like that. But frankly, having a good knockdown, drag-out conversation with your spouse can be a really good, passionate way to get into the meat of the relationship. And you know, okay, then there's always makeup sex, which is awesome. But say a little bit about that. So, you know, when you see your genogram and you see your partner's genogram, what does it do for a couple?
Well, there's an awakening of, oh my goodness, honey, this is exactly why you do what you do. So when you can only change what you become aware of, or not, I don't even like to call it change. You can be more of who you were meant to be when you take a good look at who you've been and where you've come from. Because I really don't believe that people change. My big message that I even had at Extreme Health just this last weekend is that if anybody walked away with something so significant, it would be this. And it would be that You do not have to seek for love. Love is who you are. We just have to seek to remove the barriers that prevent you from experiencing who you already are. So when we come from that premise that there is nothing wrong with you, nothing. I don't care what label you've been given. I don't care what diagnosis you've been given. I don't care what labels have been attached. One of the things I want to look right into your eyes, I want to look right when I'm working with someone, tell me who you are. Tell me who you say you are. And then what we can do is, after taking a look at the genogram, we can look at your future. We can look at the present, and we can look at the kind of spouse you want to be able to attract in your life that is literally going to be a partner in life. It's like going to the movies by yourself. You know, it's just so much better going with somebody else because you get to share in the joy, and then your sorrows can be divided.
Well, and the interesting paradox about what you're talking about is that, you know, like you said, you are naturally love, but there's these blocks we put in the way. Now, the funny thing, you also do this thing called a parts party. Mm-hmm. And in the parts party, people own their disowned self. So if you think, oh, you know, no one will ever call me a liar. No one will ever say I'm dishonest, or no one will ever say I'm lazy. What we do to overcompensate by, you know, if people think you're greedy, then you'll be overly generous. Or if people think that you're lazy, then you'll be overly serviceful. Or if people think that, you know, you're insignificant, or you're not important, or you're, you know, not valuable, you'll be overly trying to prove that you can do things and be valuable in this. Now, the complications in these blocks that you're talking about that we put up are actually the judgments we have against the natural parts of ourselves, right? So the whole idea behind a parts party is, okay, so because Greg's parents were alcoholics, he says, I'm never, ever, ever going to, you know, to participate with these people that are partiers and drink alcohol. And so Greg becomes this gloomy guy. And yet that's a part of me that if I could just own it, I wouldn't have all these crazy stories I make up and all these aversions and blocks that I have to manage in life. So say a little bit about the parts party and how embracing these disowned selves help someone to change, as you put it, without having to change.
Well, thank you so much. That's a beautiful question, because one of the things that the parts parties, or the main thing that the parts party allows each individual to do, is to embrace and love all of who you are. Because we hear that statement over and over again, that the most important person to fall in love with is you. But then how do you do that? Do you stand in front of a mirror and wink at yourself and give yourself butterflies because you're so in love with yourself? Well, it's that, and it's even more than that. When even in the Bible it says to love your neighbors, you love yourself, or to love all of who you are, it's not just the good. It's the good, the bad, the ugly, the gorgeous. It's being able to embrace your entire humanity, which allows you to embrace your divinity. So it's taking a look at what are the things that you truly, truly admire about you, and then what are the things that disgust you, and then embrace it all, knowing that you are your most delicious dessert, that whatever ingredient goes into making up the most delicious you is all a part that needs to be integrated. It's just like what I spoke of last weekend about chocolate chip cookies. Any one ingredient that goes into making up chocolate chip cookies, whether it be butter or flour or eggs or salt or vanilla, any one ingredient taken individually by itself can be very distasteful. Just like any one event or experience in our lives can be very distasteful. But one of the most important things to do is to be able to integrate it all together. Then when you put that dough, that cookie dough, in the oven and you smell that aroma, and you sink your teeth into that juicy, warm, gooey chocolate chip cookie, at that moment, would you ever want to go in and remove any one of those ingredients? You wouldn't, because it all goes into making up the delicious you, any more than you wouldn't want to go back and say, gosh, if this one event hadn't happened, or this one relationship wouldn't have taken place, or if this didn't happen, you know, don't ever wish for anything not to have happened in your life, because every experience goes into making up the most delicious you.
So then are all the troubles that we struggle with in relationships, are they really some form of self-judgment or judgment and resistance to a particular aspect of self or our partner? And can you say a little bit about, you know, because I know you talk a lot about forgiveness, which has got to be somewhat of the road to, you know, to recovery. But I want to touch a little bit on what is it that a person does when they find they're in the midst of all these resistances, and what can they do next? Now, maybe you want to take a quick station identification. This is LA Talk Radio with Tamara Montana filling in for Max Tucci. And if you have any questions about the topic that we have here, or if you want to know your own, go through a little process of your own parts party, you can call in at 323-203-0815. Again, that's 323-203-0815. So we are taking callers, and we're here with Tamara Montana and Greg Montana. And Tamara's talking about your parts party, which is basically helping you incorporate all the parts of yourself. So say a little bit, Tamara, about what is the process that a person can go that it goes through? Is it forgiveness? Is it some form of integration? Is it just lightly taking our faults and embracing them?
Very good. You know, I'm going to save everybody listening here. I'm going to save you guys years and years and years and years of therapy. And there was one thing that I discovered in psychology when I was studying to pass my my exams, my orals and my written exam. And there was one paragraph in particular that illuminated off of the page. And it basically was this one idea that if a person exuded this or they exemplified this, it equated to someone having emotional and mental perfect health. If they just did this one thing.
So there's one thing that identifies perfect mental
and emotional health.
And emotional health.
Yes. And that one thing is that they blame no one for anything, especially themselves.
So now, being blame-free, is that the same as just having no judgments?
Very close. And you mentioned forgiveness. And Mark Twain says that forgiveness is like the fragrance that is released from the flower by the heel that has crushed it. So there's a sweet, sweet aroma when we allow ourselves to forgive what we think someone else has actually done to us. Because there's a part of us, and Greg, you know, I've spoke of this many times, there's a part of our soul that sleeps in beams of light. There's a part of us that is unscathed, untouched, unharmed, that wakes for it waits in waiting for us to wake up our soul. When we wake up our soul, we realize that nobody has ever done anything to us ever. But while we believe people have done things to us, or we've done things to other people that have been really, really harmful, and I know this can seem kind of esoteric, in, you know, especially when we're faced with you know, tragedies right in front of our face, when we're watching the news, when we're watching tsunamis, or when we're hearing of killings or things like that, there is a part of us inside of all of tragedy that does sleep in beams of light. And I'm not dismissing that there are very harmful things that we do experience in our humanity here on Earth. But there is an opportunity between which lens we look at the world through.
Well, and I know that for years in my life, forgiveness, frankly, just made no sense. I mean, you know, you talk about not blaming anyone for anything, and that's what makes up perfect mental and emotional health. But, you know, isn't that what protects us? Isn't that how I protect myself? If something happens to me and I say, you know what, this person did that and that's never going to happen to me again. Now, that's the opposite of forgiveness, right? If I'm in a position where somebody takes advantage of me and I say, you know what, that'll never happen to me again.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning in with Max and Friends. You're listening to Greg and Tamara Montana talking about the beautiful experiences you can have at sea in the middle of the ocean, beautiful experiences you can have just right in your home. In between relationships, we're talking about falling in love with you. We're talking about what it takes to make relationships work, and mainly the relationship with yourself and connecting into that divine intimacy that's always leaning towards you. And I believe that God himself or herself or the universal intelligence, when we reach out, she takes the final step.
Well, and you were talking just before the break that about forgiveness and the definition of having perfect psychological and emotional health is that we blame no one for anything, which of course has a lot to do with forgiveness. And Tamara, I've wrestled with this because as an engineer, forgiveness is not forthcoming. It makes sense to hold a grudge, if you will, against someone that's hurt you. And yet what I have experienced, because you and I, you know, we have a variety of spiritual practices that we're very deep in, is that there has been a breakthrough for me with forgiveness in realizing that I'm really not capable of forgiving, that it's something that, you know, it's like God's the one that really forgives, or that divinity, this spirit, which doesn't really forgive, it never holds a grudge, which is amazing to me, is to think that the universe, the creator of this universe we live in, never holds a grudge and therefore doesn't have to forgive anything. And so, you know, frequently what marriages are struggling and suffering from is that people get caught in these ruts of just like where they're just resigned because they can't forgive this and they can't forgive that, and it happens again and it happens again. And I'm sure a lot of the people listening are feeling stuck.
Yes.
Just plain stuck. You get into a conversation and it always goes in the same direction. You get into a conversation, it always ends up like an argument, or it always ends up with one person walking out, or it always ends up with one person, you know, finding some creative way, and we all have our creative ways of avoiding the topic that the other person is trying to bring up or whatever is going on. And so one of my favorite techniques that we use is Bunraku therapy, where you take a couple that's stuck in one of these conversations where, you know, a couple starts a conversation and it starts to go down that rut, and then you recover by actually literally holding them out of the rut and taking the conversation in a more productive direction.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
did
know,
we just get joined by Max? I see that it's telling me Max is on the line. Are you
Max,
on the line?
Max, are you with us?
Tamara, even if I'm not with you in the studio, you know I'm always with you.
Oh my gosh, I love your spirit, mister.
Let me tell you, I'm like in the car right now driving through Colorado, and I'm like, this is so amazing. Max and Friends has like the capability of being live shows with having you as an amazing host talking about intimacy. I think it's like the most perfect timing for this.
Oh, Max, isn't that just absolutely phenomenal? What are you doing in Colorado?
Oh, I'm living life to the max. But what I love is that you are telling my listeners tonight, our listeners, because you're part of the inner circle, about intimacy. You know, and I always say intimacy is basically into me see. And a lot of people don't look into their, and I don't say the word partner, because partners are for games and for business, to their lover, right? So let's take the word partner out of relationships. Let's put the word lover back in. And into me see is like, look into me as your lover. And I think tonight you're really hitting the nail on the head. And hopefully with that, everyone's going to be hitting each other up a little bit later after the show. But you've got a great show going on, Tamara. I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you, Max. We love you so much.
You know, and you brought up a really good subject, Max. Here's the thing that I have always struggled with in relationships is that having my partner see things from
your perspective.
Lover.
My lover, my partner.
Your lover.
Absolutely. So. You know, because when you're with a lover, there's a whole enmeshment, which, of course, we love so much that the two are like one. And
yeah.
It's one of the things I love. I can't make a decision without thinking about Tamara. But the one thing that completely blows my mind is when I try to see something from her perspective. So when you're saying into me see, how do we work with our partner, our lover, to see into the perspective that we have, and how can we see into their perspective without going insane?
Well, you know what?
You know how? Yeah. It's so simple, I think. Tamara, you're going to agree with me. I think when we can admit that we are possibly wrong, open ourselves up to not always being knowledgeable about a certain subject, and allowing and trusting the other person to teach us and guide us to receive something new.
Mm. That's so good.
Because what happens is we become part of a pattern. And when we're stuck in that pattern of who we were, and now we're with someone that's new in our life, the pattern needs to be broken of what do I know that possibly could be inaccurate, that now with my lover teaching me something new has become accurate.
Ooh.
Well, so what that's we're really so talking about is that when a person, when you want, you know, this is the huge truth for me, is you can either be right or you can be happy. And the amount of effort that it takes to be right, especially with your with your lover, you know, there is no way to win at romance. You either are working with and loving your partner, because if you're playing a win game, then you're playing a lose game for the other person.
Well, and you know what's so amazing is when the Course in Miracles talks about that love holds no grievances, and that when you as a lover accuse or attack your partner, the jailer is no more free than the person he puts in prison by holding them responsible for something they never did to them. When you can open up to that nobody's doing anything to anybody, that there is that possibility, like what Max is talking about, what can be transformed inside with my lover as I open up and alter what I've always known to being something so much grander than anything I could have ever envisioned before.
Absolutely. Because, you know, as you know, Tamara, being a psychologist, we have patterns in pathology. So where in our life did we pick up a pattern where we feel, for instance, that something is wrong? And then when we meet someone that's new and they tell us, but that's not wrong because that's who I am. So now we have to break that pattern and have a new pathology of how we think. And if love is truth, then truth is love. And if you're in love with your lover, then what they're offering to you, and I like to say offer, you know, we can't tell anyone anything. We offer to them something that they're going to receive or they're not. So when a new person comes into your life, or when your lover of 20 years, something discovered new in their life, and offer you a pattern to change, and it's out of love, then there's some truth in it. So be willing to be wrong and be willing to break the pattern that you've been in for all your life to receive something wondrous and new.
Okay, well, you bring up a good question. So it's for Tamara and Max both. Tamara, how do you acknowledge your partner's perspective and be empathic and understanding without buying into their mediocrity, or without buying into their victim behaviors? So you want to acknowledge your partner and their perspective in such a way that it's healthy and doesn't just encourage them to be more of a victim.
Well, I think it's important to remember, too, that we tell our partner, or we show our partner, how to treat us by what we tolerate. So I think what's important is to be able to say, no, and I love you. No, that and I love you. No, that's not okay. Please don't see this as an opportunity for attack or a knockdown dragout, just so that we can come out somehow better on the other side. Because for me, that whole circle is so unnecessary. That whole loop is like staying stuck in a broken record, or like a skip.
A vicious circle.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle, and it's like just stop. And I love you.
Well, now, is it the same for men as for women? Because the one thing I've noticed with you especially is if I give you time, over time you always seem to heal. Within a few hours, you'll usually like heal and you're back to I love you. Whereas if I try to, we're going to dig into this and get to the bottom of this, and we're going to be victorious on the other side, and both of us shine loving each other. The more I try to force it in the moment, the worse it gets. Mm-hmm. And the more I just give it time and let the thing alone, so that it can, let the tension release itself instead of going in there trying to untie that knot, Every time I try to go in there and untie that knot, it gets tighter. And every time I leave it alone, it unties itself. So is this a man-woman thing? Is this just a personal style thing?
I don't think it has anything to do with gender.
I think to divide the sexes, I agree with you, Tamara. Real quick, I want to go back to the victim part that you had mentioned, because I always say the first time you're a victim, the second time you're a volunteer. Okay? Mm. So with that being said, you also, I think, going into a relationship or being in one, when a person discovers something new about themselves that they might not necessarily like about being with their lover, and then something changes, you have to be up front and stop hiding behind this curtain of everything is okay. And simply state, you don't have permission to act whatever way it is towards me.
Right.
Without fighting, you just don't have the permission to be that way towards me. For instance, the other morning, someone picked up the phone with me and I was a business call or whatever. And they said, you know, what? They picked up the phone. What? I said straight off the bat, you don't have permission to answer the phone with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that just says there's no fighting. You just don't have the permission to treat me that way.
Well, and sometimes the best way to communicate that is to be absent. You know, I've noticed that by your presence is often construed as it's almost like by just sitting by and saying nothing. That can be construed as being permissive or being in agreement.
And I think there's so much kindness to be experienced. There's a vast quantity that can just be bubbling up from the inside and just overflowing. That all of the minutiae, all of the meanness and the crap that goes back and forth just to jab or to stir up like there's something actually wrong is just time wasting. It's just,
you know what I love to say, Tamara, in the middle of anything, be still and know.
Yeah.
Right. Just hey, real quick, Ronan, what's everybody listening to?
LA Talk Radio with Max Tucci.
Ronan, hit it.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
There you go. This is Max and Friends, LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Max Tucci, but tonight I turn over the rest of my show to Tamara and Greg. Love you guys. Thank you so much for being there for me. And you know what, Tamara? Keep doing what you're doing. Greg, keep doing what you're doing and inspire the listeners. I'm going to run, but I'll let you guys have fun.
We love you, Max.
Good night.
Good night.
Talk soon, bro. Take care. Mm-hmm. So these are really good points. Now, my experience of you, Tamara, is you're a master of appreciation, that when there's a problem there, you're just – if there's any kind of frown or frustration, it's because – it's almost like what you're saying is, wait a minute. There's way much more here to appreciate find fault with.
Absolutely. And there's nothing more draining or exhausting for me in continuously pointing out that there has to be something wrong to eradicate, or there has to be something wrong with you, or something wrong with me, or something that we have to put a finger on, or to blame somebody. That is just absolute energy sucking draining, like I can't believe.
So how, in the middle, when people are feeling stuck, how can they switch to appreciation? You know, because one of the things is, you know, it's that you point out is, look, I'm not your light switch that you can just turn off and on. And when you say that, that's my cue to say, okay, time to give her time. And of course, that's painful time. You know, I like to be the fixer and go in there and solve the problem and then feel like we did it. Yay. You know,
and there can be an immediate solution. And the immediate solution is always love. What would love do now? Any one of our listeners listening right now is the only question that is the most pertinent question you could ask at any given moment, no matter what situation you're in, no matter where you're at, is what would love do now?
And hint to you guys on the line, or the whoever has the more masculine or authoritative position in the relationship, because whether it's a heterosexual or homosexual makes no difference what the relationship's like. There's usually someone that's more authoritative, and if you're that person, and you're the one that's sort of being, you know, the spearhead or the instigator when it comes to these things, then what Tamara's saying is not what would love say now. It's literally what would love do, which often means shut up and wrap your arms around that person or hold their hand or just stop with the aggression. And that's the one thing I've found is that, you know, the more I talk, the more I dig a hole for myself, the more I just get really courageous and do love, not say love, but literally get close enough. And guys, look, in the middle of an argument, the last thing we want to do is wrap our arms around a tornado, right? But that's exactly what works. And it's what takes courage is to be courageous and reaching out with that love.
And just to stop the tornado, knowing that it doesn't even have to start stirring, because the love is so palatable when we're in that parallel existence of that there's nothing wrong here. There's nothing wrong with you inherently. There's nothing wrong with me. So now what? Now what is, I love you. And what's available now? What can blossom and open up now instead of shut down? And one of the things, the only thing you have to do is listen to your heart. Is your heart opening? Is it expanding? Or is it contracting and closing down? And ladies and gals, every relationship out there, it's most important that you take good care of you. That if you're in an abusive situation where somebody just continuously emotionally attacks you in any way, remove yourself. Leave that. Wrap your arms around you. Rock yourself. Get in the shower. Give yourself a timeout. Give yourself a break. Put your feet in the grass. Feel the wind on your face. Cry out to your divine inspiration and just say, God, join with me. Help me. I'm here. I want to feel your presence. I want to experience your love on earth. On, like it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We don't have to wait for heaven to die. We can bring heaven right here, right now, with the words we speak, with the love that we give, and the exchange that we share with other people. Heaven is right here, right now, and I don't care what your economic background is. I don't care what your ethnicity is. I don't care what it is. Love is available now, always now.
And one of the things we talked about just before the last break was this Boon Raku therapy, which is basically a process where if you do find that despite prayers and despite, you know, as much as you've tried to really make things work, that you just need practice. If you know that what's really lacking is, you know, I've never experienced what it really feels like or what it's like to have a beautiful conversation with my spouse, because often what happens is we start out with beautiful intentions and we start a conversation knowing that we have beautiful intentions for having the conversation turn to a loving way and leading to understanding, and we'll open a conversation seeking deeper levels of understanding. But if you find that that always ends up spiraling into an argument or a rut, you may want to experience Boon Raku therapy, which is basically we ask the couple, what are your intentions? We ask one partner, what's your intention? The other partner, the other lover, what's your intention? And they tell us, and it's a beautiful intention. Then they go into conversation and they find themselves in survival. And all of a sudden now we're in defense. And the minute you defend yourself, you are attacked. By taking on a position of defense in a relationship, you're automatically drawing the attack. So what happens in Boon Raku therapy is you get two people that are about 10 feet apart. Tamara's whispering in one person's ear. I'm whispering in the other person's ear. We find out what their intentions are, and they start the conversation that has always led to an argument or to them falling into that rut of stuckness. And while they're having that conversation, all of a sudden we will whisper in their ear and disrupt the pattern of survival and immediately throw them back into their intention. And we'll be speaking their intentions through their mouth, because they're going to repeat exactly what we say. And what's amazing is the subconscious, conscious, and superconscious mind is hearing the other person say their true intentions instead of defending their position. And the amazing, remarkable thing that we've discovered with this is that frequently a couple will rush out of this exercise into each other's arms, because once you get your lover's intention, which you experience during lovemaking, unfortunately during conversation and the difficulties and troubles of life, we frequently fall into a survival state, and now we're defending ourselves again. So the beauty of the Boon Riku therapy is to see people. It's almost like going skiing. If you've ever done this, having training wheels on a bicycle or going skiing with the instructor literally holding you up so you can't fall down, like their skis are straddling yours and you're going down the slope. And even if you try to fall, you can't. That's what happens in this conversation. It is a conversation you cannot fail at. And once you've been through it successfully, all of a sudden now you can go down the slope all by yourself because you know what the good rut looks like. And as soon as we see the option, you know, when you're at a fork in the road and you see, well, I can head down this path that I've always gone down because the rut is cut deep in that path, but I know it leads to a dead end and I go off a cliff. Or I could head down this other path that I know leads to the higher ground and it works all the time. I just don't know how to make that left turn. Once you've made that left turn one time, from then on, you'll choose it because it works so much better.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the beautiful opportunities, too, is to be able to heal childhood wounds. There's an opportunity to actually experience yourself in the way that you always longed for with a lover. I love that Max says lover. With a lover, there's an opportunity to do something different than what you've witnessed before, than what you grew up experiencing. So those voids that had been missing in your past or in your childhood have an opportunity to show up in a way that you feel such a fullness and such a completeness that there's an overflow, an overspill of love that rushes out, and then there's very few things bother you. When you're in that loving state, there's very little that bothers you.
And through practice, and this is the thing I love about this. Tamara's got so much heart. She talks about, like, you know, the blossoming bud. But for me, I've had to, you know, when you're dealing with low levels of trust because of things that happened in childhood, I've had to actually learn to trust my habits first, my skills in relationship. So, you know, one of the things that so bugged me about therapy when I went to see a therapist is they listen, but they never really coached me through having a conversation, practicing a conversation. So, you know, we basically end up going down the same path in a conversation until we've experienced going through a higher path. And it's as simple as, you know, sitting down with someone and saying, okay, you know, I'm your lover. What do you want to say to me? And you get to hear yourself struggle with that sentence, and then you say it again. All right, how did you like that? You know, well, on a scale from 1 to 10, it was about a 7. Okay, what was the 3 that's missing? And you get to run through it again. And the only way this tends to really work for me is to do it in the presence of someone that's going to coach you through it, someone that's going to train you through it, instead of someone that's just going to listen to you and how are you, what are you feeling today, and what's that like, and how's it like for you, but actually instead get you on the field and show you how to play a new game.
Right, and one of the things that's super important too is to watch how you're landing. You know it's working if it brings up a lot of joy in the person you're communicating with. Watch their response. If their heart is shutting down, just stop. Stop whatever it is that you're doing. And then return to something that's going to solicit or elicit some kind of joy. And it's always going to be asking yourself that question, what would love do now? And what would love, how would love connect now?
And Tamara, say a little bit, you know, Max was talking about it before, intimacy. So, you know, we long for connection and closeness and intimacy. What is it that we can do? Because that's also where we're wounded, is our innocence is wounded in that closeness and that intimacy. So when someone's been, you know, when their innocence has just been smashed, what can they do to return to a place where they can experience intimacy again?
Well, one of the things I like to do is always go to the top, go to the CEO, go to the person who's in charge. So for me, it was going to God, because all of our innocence in some way has been crushed, has been smashed, has been destroyed in some way. And when I went to God with just absolute shatteredness, there was a beautiful message that came back on the inside of my heart, and I call it the voiceless voice. And I heard God say, just in my heart, Tamara, forgive me. And I thought, forgive you? I've been asking you to forgive me my whole life. Remember, I'm the one who, you know, but God said, no, forgive me for what I've called you to do and be in this lifetime. It requires the depth of pain and the depth of destruction that you've already known.
And that plays right into what we were talking about before, is that, you know, we tend to pray for forgiveness, but the fact is God's already forgiven us. The point is, how can we forgive? And that's what you're saying you were asked for, is, you know, God's asking you, forgive me for the hardship that I've put you through. Now, the beauty of that hardship is that it literally gives us compassion and can frequently point out a career or at least a humanitarian contribution that we can offer to others, because someone that's been raped or abandoned is qualified. They have spiritual credentials for helping people that are raped or abandoned. You know, it's almost like some young girl that's been raped, and she says, well, what do you know about this? And you say, well, I know because I was raped when I was a girl. All of a sudden you have immediate credentials. So that intimacy, once it's wounded and has a scar, you know, and how do they turn it around into a credential?
Right. And I think it does start with forgiving God. Forgiving God for whatever it is that we've been through, because he's the ultimate authority. And what's so beautiful then underneath that is to remember that he has in store for something for us better than we could have ever imagined originally. So when we get to that place of just letting go, just surrendering, knowing that there is someone in a higher position, a higher power, that we will be caught in the hands of God, is something that is a freedom most all of our souls yearn and crave for. That's the part of our soul that wakes up in beams of light.
And doing that on a cruise is a brilliant place to let it all go. And if you guys are in this position where you're ready to let go, you can just clench your fists right now and open them up and let it drop off. And
join us. And the way to get a hold of us is through www.heart, H-E-A-R-T, like your heart, heartvirtue, V-I-R-T-U-E.com. Or you can go to gregandtamaramontana.com or tamaramontana.com.
And we have been talking about divine intimacy and relationship cruises, and we have one coming up July 28th of 2013. And you can sign up for that at any time if you'd like. You can go to that website, and you'll see the information right there if you'd care
it's
to join us. It's
all at heartvirtue.com.
We will work with you and train you and help you to let go and lead you through these exercises that we've been talking about. So if you want to experience them, if you have any questions, if there's anything we can do for you in your relationships, then don't hesitate to contact Tamara and Greg.
Yeah, it's going to be for 7 nights and 8 days in the Alaskan glaciers on the Holland America cruise line. So definitely go to heartvirtue.com, get all the information. It's more affordable than staying in a hotel anywhere. It includes all your meals, entertainment, waking up to a balcony ocean. So go to heartvirtue.com.
And thank you for listening to LA Talk Radio. Thank you, Max, for having us on the show.
You're on with Max and Friends.
And we appreciate you listening.
Yeah. Thanks, Ronan.